Okay, okay. You need to be quiet or something and listen carefully, because it's all dreadfully important. Well, you also need to tilt your head slightly to one side due to a technical fault somewhere. So if when you come out you notice the world is all a bit wonky, then stand up straight. Cool. So we're going to talk about Bonobo, and Bonobo is Gnome's component model. But there's no reason particularly why it's tied to Gnome. It could be implemented in any language, and we'll see that later. Component programming is very important, as anyone will tell you. And it's becoming mandatory for large-scale projects. Obviously, Netscape has split themselves into millions of little components. Microsoft, pretty much everything is lots and lots of small components. And it gives you lots and lots of advantages. Good grief. Aha, that's Daniel. All right, excellent. Okay, so monolithic applications are really hard. They're hard to debug. Any bugs in them, sig faults anywhere, will destroy the whole thing. They're really hard to understand as well. What tends to happen in a monolithic application is because you can add all these weird features across sort of logical blocks, well, people do, and the interfaces get horrendously complicated, unmanageable, incomprehensible, and after a while it takes you like a year to understand what's going on, and most people don't anyway because it's too big to understand. You can't get it all in your head. And the whole project just sort of festers and dies. So, we don't want that at all. And we want stability, too. Obviously, the bigger the project, the more someone wants to add just a little feature that they don't quite finish and no one really uses, but some people do occasionally, and it's got a sig fault in it. It's good to be able to extend, reuse. Obviously, code reuse is very, very important. So everyone raves about it. Providing a nice standard way to reuse that code, that wonderful widget you've got, so that everyone doesn't rewrite it. So, for example, GTK HTML is being used lots of places. It's not actually, it's a component as well as a widget. So, that's cool. And, yeah, central maintainership projects. It's good. Large-scale free software is even worse because it's typically written by, well, started by students, and it's hacked haphazardly, and people turn up, and then, well, they leave university, and they get hired by, you know, cool companies like Helix Code or, you know, Transmetter or someone like that. Anyway, and the problem is they're not there to maintain it. You know, they sign this, well, whatever, and they don't go and write free software like you can at Helix Code. But the problem is that they've disappeared. And someone else has got to come along and pick up the pieces and say, well, you know, like, this is really quite important, but I've no way of understanding it. So, and that's really boring. So it's best if you make your components small and simple, and they have nice, well-defined Corba interfaces that can't be hacked in evil ways. So, yeah, that's good. And maintainership, yeah, because they keep switching around. It's easy to clone components as well. So if you don't like this guy's code, which is quite probable, you know, throw it away and start again. And you've only rewritten one component, right? You haven't rewritten the whole system. And so, you know, say you hate this guy's code and he's wrote 10 million components. You can replace them one by one, right? Which is cool. And it's all yours. Wonderful. Well-defined interfaces. Obviously, it's important to get the interfaces right. So that's one thing that's not so easy to replace if someone screwed them up. But you can have multiple interfaces that do a similar thing, so you can migrate. Language independence, very nice. You can script in Perl or Python or Java or whatever. And replaceable, yeah, obviously. Okay, so Bonobo does a lot of things. These are mainly the GUI things it does at the top. It does components, which are document view. It does controls, which are little widgets that you'd stick in, say, a dialogue. And it does compound documents, so storing multiple complicated sets of objects, GUI objects. And it does it, so Corbus does these three things particularly, and it does it in three chunks, okay? So there's the Corba interfaces, which are really what Bonobo is in some real sense. And anyone that implements those Corba interfaces is a sort of Bonobo. It's an implementation of Bonobo. It also provides GTK client wrappers, so that if you're a GTK programmer, as you all are, then you can just use a GTK-like wrapper, and it's all very simple. There's less Corba to worry about. Exceptions are far less granular. It's a lot easier to handle. And then there's the standard implementation. So there goes wrappers, Corba interfaces, standard implementation, and you talk like that. Okay? So you probably don't want to rewrite the standard implementation, but you can do. So, and it's similar to all these other things, Colmoli to ActiveX. It's similar to ActiveX, but ActiveX tends to be a buzzword for running arbitrary code on your computer, but it's nothing to do with that. So that's just a peripheral thing that Microsoft added. Okay, Corba. We use Corba because Corba's cool. It's well-known, accepted, open, and that sort of thing. You've got a well-defined interface definition language, which is language independent, and it's easy to read, it's C-like, it's pretty cool. There's a communications layer, which is remote and local transparent, so you know your component can be anywhere in the world, which is nice too. And it's easy to automate through scripts because Corba's been around for a while. It's well understood. There are lots of Corba bindings for various languages. So, well, you've already got this amazing scriptability built in without any effort at all. And, yeah, that's pretty cool. So, how do we do this in GNOME? Well, I'm going to do this bit first, and then I'm going to do this bit. We use a thing called Orbit, which was designed to be small. Some people discovered after a while that Corba was absolutely, could be massive. And if you had a really big orb written in C++ with umpteen templates, then it could consume your entire RAM just building thing and take 6 weeks. So, we wrote Orbit, which is small and fast, and implements a subset of Corba 2.2. And it's really, really quick. It also has shared library operations. So if you think that marshalling data across sockets or whatever is a really bad idea, as many people do, and you have a really stable component that, you've certified in some way and you're sure that it works really brilliantly, you can shared library link it in, dynamically link it. Microsoft does this all the time. Very many Microsoft components are just DLLs, right? And it's linked straight into your address space, and the method call is like a single virtual pointer dereference, right? So we want to emulate that so we can use this everywhere. So Orbit has a special dynamic linking mode, so you can just link the thing straight in and bang. It's really, really quick, okay? So everyone hears Corba and thinks, oh, it's going to be so slow. Oh. But actually, it's really fast, so that's cool. And the primary binding's in C, which means they're small and fast, and fault tolerant, because the exceptions are really explicit. Okay, object activation. We used to activate objects by a very silly way, which was tying the IOR for your name service on your xroot window, which was silly. So we've now rewritten the activation system totally, and it's called Oath, and it's not tied to a single machine, so you can activate objects on, well, wherever you like, really. And objects are described by XML files, so when you make an object, you give it a name, and you give its factory a name, and you say the object lives in the factory, and this sort of thing, and you say, the object can do this. You know, it's fairly big. It does XML version whatever. It can handle HTML version 4 with the bold tag. It can do all these sort of things. And then you stick it in the XML file and just don't worry about it. Now, someone else can come along and say, right, I want a component that handles this version of XML is this big, and so on and so on. Okay? Or I want all the components that handle HTML sorted by size, preferably with the active ones that are already running in memory first, say. So it's a very, very powerful tool. You can activate on remote machines, remotes, all manner of things, and every component needs a unique ID, which defines that uniquely. Oath has got this really powerful querying language. It's a bit like SQL. There's lots of functions, far more like a fit on the slide. But anyway, so this is a bit from Nautilus, and so this says we want to have something that has these IDL interfaces. So it has both control and content view, or it has one of control or embeddable, and it has a persist file, so we can load it with something. And some user-defined type is defined here at the bottom. So instead of saying you want this magic component by its magic number, which really sucks, because you could have refiddled your system so it's got totally different components, you do capability-based activation, which is really, really a good idea. Okay, so Bonobo controls, yeah. Bonobo controls are for rapid application things. They're very much like Java Beans in many ways. So they have properties. You can stick them into Glade, and we'll see that in a minute. They also do menu and toolbar merging if you've got a particularly complicated one. And components, which are embeddable and have this document view abstraction, which is nice. If you want to stick something in the spreadsheet or a word processor productivity application, it's got to be document view. Otherwise, you're going to get serious problems when you start doing remote shared workbooks and this sort of thing. Compound documents also provide linking, which we'll do later, and structured storage, so you can save the whole thing. Printing, which is nice. Verbs, which are just simple actions you can apply to an object. Okay. We want to make everything simple, because a lot of people think Corba is difficult, and it's far too much hassle and stress to get involved with, and you've got to learn all these bindings and all this sort of emotional fluff, right? So we want to simplify it, and so we have all these GTK-based wrappers, and it's really, really easy. As long as you get that message, that's the main thing in my talk, right? It's easy to use Bonobo. It should be easy, and it is mostly very easy, okay? And we're making it easier. So there are lots of help functions. We don't like to type a lot, particularly. There are some very simple. There's lots of examples there, too. So, say, some controls I'll show you later are just almost no lines of code at all. Simple container. Yeah, okay, and we'll see this. Sophisticated sub.dot container. Okay, so it's simple. That's an important slide. Okay, so how does it work? How do we get all these amazing interfaces stuck together? And the answer is we have a base object. All interfaces inherit from Bonobo Unknown, right? So you've got this interface, and three things that you can always do on it are ref, unref, and query interface, right? And these may seem to apply only to this interface, but actually they apply to all the interfaces, right? So you've got all these interfaces, they all inherit from Bonobo Unknown, which represents the aggregate of these things. And so you can tie lots of interfaces together, right? And they all have this central core. So they have a single ref count, and we'll say more about that later. Property discovery. So what you do is you get your object, and you don't know particularly what interface you've got. It's just a Bonobo object. And you can say, well, can you do graphical embedding? Can you do stream I.O.? Can you do this? Can you do that? And so you can adapt really quickly to what your object can do. Okay. There's a default implementation of this, but, you know, you can do it how you like, really. Okay, so say we want to glup two objects together, right? We want both sets of capabilities. And object one can do some stuff, and object A can do some stuff, object B can do some stuff. And so we just merge them together. This sort of fuses them into one Bonobo object, okay? And it's all these words here. Okay, so Bonobo controls. We're going to have a demo soon, okay? So nudge your neighbor. And now just job beans. We've done that. ActiveX controls, big widgets, and so you can just do a lot of complicated stuff easily. Visual embedding, yeah. Rapid application integration, language independence free. Okay, this is all easy. You wrote that slide. Rich widgets. Okay, so this is how easy it can be. Okay, so you just say you wanna. If you've done GTK programming, you'll see it's actually as simple as GTK programming. You just wouldn't know it's a remote thing, except for the Bonobo. So you go Bonobo widget, new control. You say perhaps you want a calculator. And you pass null, which is form off the end, for the UI handler. And then you just whack it in a box, bang, and you've got a calculator, right? Just like the GNOME calculator widget, which is not, shouldn't be in GNOME anyway. You can then fiddle with its properties, okay? So if you know it's got a value property and it's a double, you can just grab it like that, add some stuff to it, and put it back, okay? Easy, just like GTK arguments. Okay, it's type unsafe, but you're clever guys, so you'd know that. There's type safe ways of doing it too, obviously. You can query types on things and all that sort of stuff. If you've made your object, your cunning program, a GTK widget already, which some people, you know, obviously wanting to move to GTK have done, then it's very easy to make it a Bonobo component as well. All you need to do is you just whack its, this will just grab all its arguments and pop them into the property bag, which, that means it's Glade demo time. Yeah. Now, I should have done this beforehand. Okay, so this here is Glade, as you probably know, and this here is the generic cell format dialog thing, written by Jody Gelberg, who's probably here somewhere. Okay, so we have a little thing called controls here, which has queried oaf and grabbed all the controls, and so what we can do is we can just pop a clock in there, and so that's a remote clock running in a separate address space, just merged in all the X windows and shared them, and it's just rendering straight into it, which is, it was tough, wasn't it? Let's try another one. This is my one of my favorite ones. So that, unfortunately, has nothing to see how quickly it loaded, but okay, so it's a little animation there. Running in a separate process, obviously it has very little impact on the thing as a whole. So that's pretty cool, and acts obviously just like a normal widget. Okay, so there we go, and we'll see that in a second, later, working in the application. And if you don't see that, remind me, because I always forget. Late demo time. Okay, so compound documents are a similar problem, in that you have to share this drawable. In place editing, yep, obviously lots of code reuse. You want to basically make something that's greater than the sum of the parts, okay? I mean, it's like games. So what you want is a really, really simple set of rules that are sort of infinitely flexible, right? So you set up the environment, and then there's just infinite number of possibilities inside, all of which are fun. Okay, so you want to do this with compound documents, so you can, you know, make up arbitrarily cool documents with weird components in them. So that's cool. That's what we do. So you can, you know, embed a generic sheet in Evolution, a Guppy chart in Starword, whatever. Okay, and all of these Star Office components will become Bonobo components that you can just plug in and out interchangeably. Shortly. Links too. Links cool. We'll do them later. But they're really good. They're really good. Miguel raves about them. If you want to hear raving about monikers, go and talk to Miguel. Okay. And they have a uniform interface, right? So you can treat all these things as the same thing to do quite a lot of common tasks. Visual embedding. Okay. The another cool thing is the canvas. We got this really powerful thing called the canvas in GNOME. And if you want to know more about the canvas, you should really go to Chris's talk, because that's going to be later, and he'll tell you all the gory details of how it works and how it's made efficient and all this sort of thing. Anyway, so Lots of applications already use that to draw things in. So like Numeric is actually a canvas. Okay, so supposedly you could actually put it in other applications as a canvas item. But what you can do is you can stick, say, a line or a wiggly line, a Bezier path or something, in your spreadsheet as a remote Bonobo canvas item. Okay, and it'll proxy all the rendering for you, and it's done entirely by another process. So that means you can have stuff behind it. It's not just basically a square window, which sucks, okay? Because you want to make really complicated things, and you don't want, like, square window, can't see stuff behind it. It's kind of silly. So that's good. Rectangular embedding, you've just seen in the control anyway. Actually, the control uses just a single view of what a multiple document view embeddable would do. So you've seen it work. Okay. All right, I did the slide. Printing, remote printing is also uses the GNOME Print API, which is extremely cool too, and I think it happens to be an extremely clean piece of code. So should you want to read something before you go to bed tonight, just to, you know, make you sleep sublimely and just to make you happy about the state of the world, just go and read GNOME Print. Just read the headers. Just see it. It has to be seen to be believed. And there's a guy called Chima somewhere here. Yep, this man here. Talk to him about it, because he's cool. And he'll tell you all the gory details. So, yep. So the container will calculate where it wants its components to be printed, right? And okay, there's some complicated things can happen in printing. Like it might be wanted to be chopped into 20 pages or something, right? So it calculates where it's going to chop it, so that the component can do things to make sure that your vital bit of text isn't chopped in the middle, and so on. And it then sends all this information to the client, layout information, size information, where it's going to be. The client renders itself using the standard GNOME Print API. So you can render, well, anyway, it renders itself just using the nice API we have. And that renders to a small meta file, which is just a sort of crunched, compressed, spool type session. And the meta file is sent over the Corbel link to the container, and the container whacks it into the page. And it all just works like that. Oh, okay. And now we get to see it. Unfortunately, my screen has gone west, so... Oh, we don't want that. Okay. So, this is a special Bonobo build. We ship Numeric in two versions, okay? So when you want to come and trial these things out and demo them to all your friends and say, look, this is just so cool, you need to build Bonobo, obviously, and Oaf, and you need to build Numeric again because we like to have a really, really ultra-stable version and then a development version, both of which ship. So, here we go. Here's an image component. I can't type. Typing should never be done in public. Okay, so there we have a little duck. Well, that's quite cool. And that's stuck in as a separate component. You can activate it, resize it, all that sort of guff. One of the cool things that... try and drag this somehow. Oh, that was... That sucks. You can't press enter in the dialog. Ah, here we go. It's in a better place now. Is Guppy. Now, this is written by a guy called John. Work, you swine. It's activating the component. Okay, it's a big one. So... it looks just like a fairly normal pie chart, right? Okay, now this is where the resemblance ends. You can grab this thing and just pull bits out, right? Okay, or you can, if you don't like where it's oriented, you can just, you know, maybe Lush should be there. That's right. And then, Marshall's all over the cool link. Okay, there's a few bugs in my precise version of, this screen is really low resolution. Printing, you see some of these colors go a bit wrong, but that's being fixed. So there you go. That was remotely marshaled over Corbett. Did you see how slow it was? Did you see it being slow? I didn't see it being slow. So that's pretty cool. That's all rendered into a meta file. Now, another thing about Bonobo is that it's fairly resilient. So, I mean, this is my favorite thing here. So should you have Minesweeper and you're just, you know, sitting there playing it and... I'm never good at this and it never works in demos. What I want is... Yeah, okay, something like that. And then the boss comes along and strangely... I have a little script here called segfault, and if you want it, just ask me or afterwards, okay? Oh no, it's died! Damn it! But the good thing about this is that your session is completely stable, he says. Ha! Well, it is, okay? Right? When I tested it, it was. Okay, I'll do it again later for the disbelievers that don't take my word for it. Okay, but it can cope with remote failure. Just believe me. And we're making it more robust, as I speak, perhaps. So, right, we've done printing, compound documents, structured storage, compound documents, okay, so once you've got all these things, you need to store them, right? And you need to store them so they all come back and activate beautifully. So, This is what we always get flamed for, and you can flame me at the end, okay? File system within file system. And everyone goes, well, this sucks really badly and for lots of reasons. But anyway, it doesn't. You need a file system within a file system because people get very confused. If you create 10 files for their compound document, then when they copy them to their floppy, as they're going to, they'll discover that they've not all come, or it'll look like a directory, and they'll double-click on it, and it'll really confuse them. So what Microsoft did was invented a thing called OLI2 structured storage, which allows you to stick lots and lots of files within a file system in a very wasteful and inefficient way. But we need to emulate this, okay? And we're not going to be wasteful and inefficient. So it also allows you to do nice things like transactions on the file, okay? So you've got known good state in there. Okay, so there's two interfaces, storage, which is a directory, and stream, which is a file, sort of thing. And containers just get storages and shove themselves into it, and components would just get a stream if they ask for a stream, and they can shove themselves into that. And there's lots of backends. This is the thing. Okay, everyone loves to hate this because it's just a new format. But the thing is, it supports transactions nicely. Okay, libOLI2 is Microsoft's standard format. Native file system. You can stick it in a directory if you're particularly warped, or you can stick it in a pkzip file, a tar file, anything that GNOME VFS supports eventually. So that's pretty cool. You can just stick it into a memory thing or. Okay, and progressive is cool too, because if you've got a massive spreadsheet or something, right, that's going to take ages to save, you can just asynchronously save it. You can say, here's a progressive data source, and it will just save itself in the background. So that's cool. How to get a storage. Okay. To get a storage, you have to implement some of these things. Okay, so as a component, if you want to be saved, then you have to implement, say, that I can be saved. Okay, so you implement persist stream, and when the container wants to save you, it'll go, can you give me a stream? You know, or can I give you a stream to save yourself into? You know, here you are. So it'll query for this interface, and then it'll pass the stream to you if it's got it. Okay, so that's cool. Now, people like this interface. Well, I tell you, I like this interface, but it's bad for you, okay? It's naughty but nice. What happens is that you have this old code, right? And it really sucks for many reasons. But you want to make it a component so people can't see that, which is nice because the component, you know, you can't see all this ugliness behind it, right? It just sort of works, which is a real joy. But it currently uses, like, file.io using file star or integer file descriptors or something evil like that. Anyway, so the problem is that what you think is, oh, great, I can just use this persist file API and just pass it the file name, right? Just pass it the file name. And that'll work, okay? But it doesn't work when you start doing compound documents, right? Because the file name isn't actually, you can't open it in any real sense using these Unix things, right? You've got to send the data down a stream because it's going into a storage, into another storage, into a stream, into a storage in a compound document on some machine in Asia, right? Okay, and this is not going to work well with a file name. So don't implement this interface unless there's a really, really good reason for it. And we were trying to think of a really good reason for it, and we can't think of one. So don't. Implement one of these, okay? But this may involve re-architecturing your application so it has a streaming I.O. But that'll be good for your soul. So do it. Okay, monikers. Monikers are cool. Monikers are cool, and they're difficult to understand, okay? So if you don't understand them, don't worry. Just come and talk to me afterwards. There'll be a whole bunch of people asking me afterwards, too. So a moniker is a bit like a C pointer, but a bit not like a C pointer. So, okay, say you have a company logo, right? And you want this logo in every document you have, right? Top right corner or something. Like this logo. It's cool, you see. So you stick this in all your documents, and you cut and paste it in each time, right? And it's maybe 5K. So each time you cut and paste this, another 5K. Now, that's okay, you know, that's fine. It's not much memory. Then your graphic artist comes along and goes, oh, I've just got this great idea. And if you work for Shell, you'll understand the Pectin changes, like, weekly. We've got to change all these old documents. We've got to change them all somehow. And so either you employ some drone to go through and change them all. Well, anyway, it just doesn't bear thinking about. So what monikers allow you to do is point to a file or a stream or something inside something. It could be anywhere. And it's like a link. It's a link. It's like a pointer. It says it's over there. So you can change what's over there, and everything changes. Okay. So that's pretty cool. Okay, but more than that, it doesn't just do files. It allows you to get objects outside of other objects, which is cool. And if you've used Visual Basic in the past, you've used a thing called getObject, right? And getObject's cool, because what you can do is you can go getObject, Excel, something else, and you can navigate the hierarchy of objects that exist inside Excel, and you can just grab objects out of it, right? So what looks like this monolithic application, you can start taking apart into components and grabbing small components like a cell out of it, right? And you've got a reference to the cell object. So that allows you to do it in a really, really simple way using a text string, okay? And it's used to implement linking in OLE. As you've noticed, OLE is three letters. It's not OE. So we do embedding really well at the moment. We do objects wonderfully. Linking, we're rewriting, okay? This is under major rework. And by next week, it'll be absolutely slick and beautiful. Right. And another nice thing about monikers is that you can pass constructor data, right? So you say, get this file, and I want a specific bit of it. And you can, as it begins to navigate objects inside, an object can take construction data from this string, okay? So that's pretty cool. We don't know what. Okay, so how about an example, right? We just want to grab this file, say sales numeric, okay? So we look at this file, we notice the MIME type, we see it's a numeric file, we activate numeric, we get a numeric object, and then we say, numeric, give me a sheet object, okay? So numeric goes away, gets you a sheet object, gives it back. And then say, give me this cell range, okay? I just want the cell range in my application because my boss won't understand the cunning maths, the disgusting, ugly goo in the spreadsheet. So it goes, okay, here's that range. So then you just get that range, okay? So you can stick it in your application, okay? So that's one cool use. And it's bound in a funny way. So there you go. There's lots of guts behind that does this all for you, and you never need to know anything about it. But there's lots and lots of cool things you can do with monikers, okay? Lots of cool prefixes. For example, queuing. Okay, so some things that you can do, you don't need instant status data. You just want to say, go away and do it, and tell me if you fail sometime later, right? Just asynchronously. Because it's going to take forever and a day, right? So what you can do is say, I want to queue, and I want to load this mail component and make it queue. And what that will do is that will load the queue object, which will look at the mail component. It will activate it. It will proxy its interface, okay? So it will look exactly like the mail component and yet not be the mail component, right? So what you can do is you can fire away to this object, and all these methods will just return instantly, bang, like that, right? So you've sent your massive mail message off to the thing, okay? And at some time later, you don't give a damn when, it will all get sent out onto the mail system somehow, which is pretty cool for big asynchronous things. And it's not difficult to do, right? All you have to do is add 5 characters to your moniker, okay? Which is extraordinarily simple. And if you want to know whether it happens, you can have a callback interface and so on. Okay. It's great to transfer information as monikers, right? Say you want to cut and paste this massive spreadsheet. You don't want it all in your clipboard. Waste of time. So what you have is you have a moniker representation. So you just cut this little string that says exactly what it is, and maybe, you know, has a whole load of data about it. And so you just say drag and drop it in, and bang, there it is, okay, as a link. So there's lots of ways of getting them in, but they're really cool. So you can also, well, you will also be able to use them in making new widgets, okay? So say you don't like our help browser. You can write all your documentation in I don't know, Abbey Word. You can print it using GNOME Print, and Chima's new GNOME Print plugin will turn it into a PDF for you, you see? So you've got all your documentation in PDF, which is nice, and so you want to make a little browser. What could be easier? All you do is you fire up this widget, just like that. You say, there's the document. We want page 4. Okay, so this is sort of constructed data that's being passed in to the thing, right? We want the fourth page. And there it is, bang. You've made your own new help browser. Don't you feel hard? Okay, so you can also embed, we've done this before, SVG files, web pages, GTK HTML's editable, so you can just grab that. Okay, so Perl. Uh-huh. And hopefully Daniel turned up. Daniel? Uh-huh. He's put his hand up over there. Very, very quickly. Up again. Put your hand up. Oh, there you go. Good. Okay. Now, I was just sitting next to him, and I just sort of looked at his screen, you know, like you're not supposed to because they're probably writing mail. And I saw all this stuff, and he was writing bonobo objects in Perl. Okay? So if you have questions, go and talk to Daniel afterwards. But there's Perl bindings for Corba, right? And obviously it makes it really easy. And this is not particularly a bonobo-like, but this is using numeric. This is just scripting numeric. Okay? So we activate numeric. We say we want this interface. And then we do various things to it. We set a few values, some text, we set some formula and recalc. And because all of these things are setting, actually we could have done it in a queued way, right? And it would all just be there and perhaps get it to render itself to HTML, and then you just see it on the web at some later stage when it was done, okay? Now this is cool too. I was just on IRC, as you could see here, but I chopped it off. And a guy goes, oh, look at this. I've just written this Java implementation of Bonobo. Okay, so you hadn't, it's not by any sense perfect. But this here is a Java program, okay, using the abstract windowing toolkit. This here is Bonobo components, the Minesweeper components, as you see. This here is the game menu merged into the Java menu, right? Okay, so this is happening. Soon there are going to be many, many language bindings, native ways of sharing GUI components between different languages, completely different operating environments. Okay, so Bonobo is released. It will be re-released progressively, incrementally as we finish it. But one of the nice things about it is that even when it's perfectly stable, we can add new interfaces and new wrappers, okay, and expand the platform quite without actually affecting any of the other stuff, which is cool. And you can do that yourselves, obviously, and you know, make your own standards, and just encourage other people to use them, which is cool. Compound document storage is in flux. I wrote that a week ago. It's getting fixed. Printing code. I like it more and more now, so I won't say it's alpha. It's beta. Monikers we're rewriting this week. Evolution. Okay, these are other things that use it. Evolution is entirely built out of Bonobo components, and it's a really cool use of Bonobo components, right? We're finding all manner of features that we hadn't noticed in Bonobo and fixing them. So Bonobo is becoming a lot more robust because of what Evolution is doing, which is good. And it's a really cool mail reader, and, okay, it knocks everything. Go and listen to Dan's talk. I can't do his talk now or he'll get really annoyed, which is later. In fact, you can stay in this room quite safely for the next while. We put superglue on the chairs beforehand. Nautilus, okay, it's used for view embedding. So you can edit your spreadsheet inside Nautilus, you can browse the web, you can, well, do whatever you like. StarOffice is already componentized, okay? Many people don't realize this. They see this massive StarOffice application, they don't realize that actually they wrote all the component stuff and then they don't really use it very well, okay? So actually porting it to Bonobo is going to be easy and difficult at the same time. So, but it's not as hard as you might think. So that'll be ready in October, or a release will. Numeric, obviously, you just saw. I went backwards. Why did I go backwards? Okay. Glade, libglade, you saw that earlier. You only saw Glade. Oh, I forgot to show you it working. Okay, I'll show you that in a minute. SoddyPoddy does shaped stuff, beautiful SVG files and stuff. So you can have text in your spreadsheet and an SVG file sort of transparently on top of it, which is pretty cool. GTK HTML, obviously, if you want an editable HTML thing, you can just whack it in. And there's several editors that do that. Mozilla is being Bonobo-ized progressively. We didn't feel like writing a full HTML rendering, cope with JavaScript, all this sort of thing, because actually there is already one. So we're going to use Mozilla, which is Bonobo-ized. So that's cool too. GIMP and Control Center rewrite using Bonobo. If you want it, that's where you get it. Help the bonobos. The bonobos are a dying... Oh, I didn't tell you about the bonobos. Okay. Bonobos are the most genetically similar animal to the human being, and they're dying out because... I forget quite why they're dying out. Anyway, we're killing them for some reason. And we shouldn't, because they're dying... There's only one or two blokes left, and it's no good. I can't understand how they are dying out, actually, but ask me afterwards why that is. It just seems incredible to me. Anyway, you need to save them. So go to this website and do your civic duty by saving the bonobo. If you want more information, contact me or Miguel, and join the list. And, okay, Dell. I didn't tell you about Dell. Okay, this is my Dell laptop. And, oh, it's just really wonderful. And Dell have great... They lent me the laptop, okay? And so just buy Dell, okay? They have good support. And if you're a hardware manufacturer, okay, give cool stuff to free software hackers so that they can plug you at some stage.
And with minimal amount of RAM, so that they don't...
Okay, yeah, well, okay, right, yeah. Give them no RAM. Give them really bad computers so that they have to write fast code. Is that your thesis? I think that's not a good thesis. Okay, and here's a pretty screenshot of it all working. So, there you go. Any questions? Oh, yeah, okay. Sure, I forgot to do that. This is libglade working. Okay, so, fire up numeric, and we do the cell format, and there you are. Okay? So that... Okay, that was an XML file. It loaded the XML file. It parsed it. It created all the widgets. It activated two Bonobo components, and it drew it on the screen. Bang. I think it was an acceptable delay. Okay, so there you go. That was the demo I was talking about. I need my screenshot. Where is it? I had something cool to stand in front of. There you go. Okay, more questions. This man here. Okay, right. I'm not a great expert on what an IOR is, but as I understand it, an IOR represents an object, right? So if you want to talk to a specific activated running object, okay, so it can do activation as well, but that's less use, then you use this IOR, okay? Right? So Monica will allow you to do a whole lot more. It'll allow you to pass constructor data, right? It allows you to get sub-objects out of objects using a standard interface, right? Okay, and it will do activation for you. It will do wrapping objects with other objects and things like that, right? And as far as I understand it, IORs, to do that, you need a hell of a lot more grunt. Okay, right, well, speak to me afterwards and tell me how we can do it without a lot more grunt. Okay, let's chat.
Will it be possible to use Bonobo under other undead things? Like, for example, I want to make a mod Bonobo enable so I can read my evolution file.
Uh-huh.
The same way with same query. If an interface exists, could I use it under the console without Higgs?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Bonobo is right, okay, yes. The answer is yes, and the full answer is yes, but. Okay, so the answer is yes. To do that, Bonobo needs to be reorganized into GUI and non-GUI bits, and this is a matter of editing the makefile, right, and saying that's GUI, that's not GUI, and just adding another library, right? That's easy to do, and rest assured I will be doing this shortly, because I get this question a lot. So yeah, there's no really difficult reason why it shouldn't be so. Yeah, you can do this, you can implement this interface in any language from anywhere without necessarily X, okay, etc., right? It's incredibly powerful. So yeah, if you want a text mode, everyone comes and says this. I want a text mode evolution front end. And ask Dan why we don't have one, okay? But I think this sucks. But if you really want a text evolution front end that's impossible to use, then you can get one, okay? All you need to do is implement, right, you know, plug into a few interfaces, activate the right things, and there you are, bang. Okay? Does that answer your question?
No. Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's good. Excellent. Next, or if you will... in gelatited. Daniel, you've got to have a question, man. You are the questioner. No, he's typing. That's good. Hit me with it.
No.
No.
Tell me about the way you name the object.
Ah, yeah. I thought that would come up.
I'm still unsure that you're actually using a proper URI mechanism for that.
We're not. You're right. Okay, okay. Harass me later. All right, we're not using a proper URI method for that. Good. Aha.
You said that what a person queries for a component is using this SQL query base.
Yeah.
And you'll have recipes for all the favorite ones.
Yeah, sure.
But also you have this other mechanism to reach inside a component and ask for specific embeddables.
Yeah.
Is there any automatic way of determining what embeddables are hidden inside a component?
No.
This is a side question to the URI.
But there's no real reason why there shouldn't be. Really. Yeah, I mean, you can add things that tell you what objects are inside this to the OFINFO file, right? Because it's a very abstract querying language, right? The fact that it has one thing that says repo IDs, it implements these IDL interfaces. You know, it's just we define this as a special type. So you could have, embedded objects as a sort of set of strings, and then you could look at that, and you can do it all from the OAuth file.
But you haven't set a standard for that yet?
We haven't set a standard for that yet, no. But then again, Monica's is not rewritten yet. So, well, you know, well, you're welcome to write it. Yeah. A question suggestion? Okay, so tell someone else and they'll ask it.
Okay, it's about books. Basically, Bonobo is taking ground, okay? A lot of people will actually start using it on a far larger scale now.
Mm-hmm.
It means we need a book.
We need a book, right.
I'm not saying, you should have a book. What I'm saying is that there are companies which are actually employing Gnome hackers. Some of them may spend some time actually writing books. I'm asking those companies to free as much time as possible so that those people writing books will have time for that.
Okay, yeah. So. Right, okay, there are going to be several books. Matthew Lacarge is working on one. Obviously, Bonobo will be... A version will be stabilized for GNOME 1.4, which will be out shortly with Evolution and Nautilus, and it will be fully stable for GNOME 2. So there's a while till it will be absolutely... you know, unchanging API, okay? Because we've got lots of new features, like my friend suggested, to add. So, but there are books in the works, okay? So Matthew Lukasz is writing a book. There are sections, every GNOME book will have a big section on Bonobo at some stage, I assure you. And there are several books in the process of coming out, okay? But books take a long time to write, they're very time consuming, extremely tedious. Okay, if you run a company that employs bonobo hackers, write a book. Or a pamphlet, okay, just something small. Okay.
So, bonobo is probably going to become widespread fairly shortly, multiple people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there any strategy built into bonobo for internationalization of languages?
Right, okay. If you have a component in Asia and it's running on a component in London, what do you expect to see when it merges menus?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, and it's not an easy question, right? Especially if that component is a single instance and it's also got a menu in Timbuktu, right? So the answer is at the moment that you do the localization at your end. Okay, so you get an Asian language component in your thing. Yeah. Oh, Daniel, I thought you'd be there, yeah.
It's more than a question, it's probably an answer, but I'm not technical enough. If you do the description in XML, is that right? Do you do the object description in XML? Then you can actually, with XML, embed multiple elements. Say, if, for example, the name for the entry in the title is an element at the XML level, you can actually put multiple elements.
Okay, but it isn't, Daniel. Okay. Not all the object is described in XML. Okay, so it's only for activation. Just right, cut and dried, quick description. Okay. So yeah, currently, I mean, I don't see a major problem with that. Because the vast majority of components will be local, probably dynamically linked, fast. Okay, remote components, yeah, okay. You can add another interface, okay? One of the beauties of Bonobo is that you can do it yourself. Okay, and if someone needs it, they will do it themselves, and if we like it, which we probably will, it'll get folded into the standard, right? Okay, so it's really not... Yeah, okay. But the thing is to persuade GetText or whatever mechanism you're using that you're in three locales at once, right, which is not nice. Okay, good. I forget how long we've got. How long have we got? Are you gagging for coffee or tea or whatever? No? More questions? Aha, the man at the back with the muzzle of the T-shirt. Uh-huh.
Are you going to replace the components inside StarOffice that have an equivalent already, or are we going to actually see competition?
Okay, well, right. The thing is that I haven't actually seen the code, okay? I've seen beautiful pictures of how StarOffice component model works and how Bonobo works and how we're going to make them work together and, you know, unify them and have a component model that is cross-platform on Windows and Unix and this sort of thing. Okay, but I haven't looked at any of the code for copyright reasons in as much that I write free software, and if I start being polluted by patents, then I'm screwed. I can't work for anyone anymore, which just sucks. So I haven't seen their code. Where their code is better than ours, we'll use their code. Where our code is better than theirs, we'll use our code, okay? And I really don't know how bad it is. Okay, I've talked to my friend Quaylon, okay, and he says that some bits of it... Well, you know how commercial software gets. I'm sure any of you who have hacked on commercial software will know the evils of maintainership, you know, incredibly defensive hacking, unnecessary checks on everything, you know, disgusting sort of add-ons glupped on the side of this, what was quite a nice model. And the thing becomes sort of this warty, bulky, horrible troll, right, after a while. And the problem is that no one's got the guts to sort of smooth it over because that might break some corner case and someone's going to shout at you. So I think you may find that they want a clean break from some of their legacy stuff. I don't know. I can't speak for some at all. So I don't know. But the thing is that something like this GNUmeric that I've poured hundreds of hours of love into, right, if it has brought some to the position where they see that the only way forward is to free their software, then I don't think it was wasted effort if we discard it, right? That's my opinion. Okay, sad as I am not to have my name all over it, yeah, whatever, okay? Aha, this gentleman here again.
You know, I know that's a recent announcement, but do you know if we will have a StarOffice with Bonobo for Windows?
Right, okay, that's one of the things that I don't know. Well, the thing is that that would be nice, okay? I think they still... Like I say, I can't speak for some time.
Well, I would
okay.
Really nice because I really love
yeah.
AI, and
okay.
Sometimes I want to use it on Windows.
That's true, and Okay, I mean, I see Windows, well, it's one of these things, you know, I as a free software hacker don't really believe in writing free software for Windows. Because it sort of condones it, you know, it says, it's okay to screw other people, sort of thing. So I don't particularly like that, so I don't think I'd be working on it. But some people like this cross-platform, you know, platform agnostic stuff. And as long as it doesn't add a massive layer of wrappers, like if you look at some software projects, you know, it's so abstract. By the time, you know, you're hundreds of miles from the toolkit by the time you write a command, and it's just impossible to know what's going to happen. So I don't like that. But if they port Orbit, which should be fairly easy, they port Bonobo, which is tied to GTK only at the moment, so and GNOME Print, which is tied to glib and GTK, it should be fairly easy, yeah, because GTK is cross-platform. Okay, yeah, fine. So I see no... Okay, the remote components are going to be tough under Windows because it's got no way of doing that. So if you feel like implementing remote Windows drawables over Corba Link, feel free to. It would be possible to plug in. So, yeah, perhaps not. I don't know. Ah, this gentleman again that asked me the difficult question earlier. Oh, quivering in my boots.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You saw the Java example, did you? That's using Java Orb.
I mean, your C code. Could I replace the Orbit and then compile with another Orb?
Do you know any other Orb that has C bindings?
No idea. But the question is, there are standard C bindings for...
Well...
I wonder how much you use standard.
We I think, adhere to the standards, well, yes, for those bindings. We may... I don't know is the answer. I don't know of any other orb that provides C bindings, and I don't know why you would want to compile it with another orb, unless you just like compiling things with other orbs. I don't know.
Well, I'm working on the
limb, and just okay, right.
Being able to switch.
Well, I'll rave about Orbit then a bit more, because it's really small. Okay, we want everything to be... I said this earlier. I didn't say enough about it earlier. In fact, I missed it completely. We want to put Corba interfaces on everything, right? So, like... mailing, services, absolutely everything, right? And so we want a very small orb, right? Very lightweight. And if you're worried about orb being big and bloated, it is really not, okay? And we're working on shrinking it even further, especially the stub scale size, right? So this thing is going to be really small. We're going to link it to everything in GNOME, and you're not going to know, right? As a fraction of your C library size, this thing is absolutely tiny. As a fraction of, you know, GTK's size, you know, it's not a significant penalty. Everyone thinks Corba is bloated and slow, right? But it's not, okay? And it's quick too, so we're gonna be putting Orbit in everything, and so I don't see why you'd want to switch Orb. I really don't. I don't understand. But perhaps is the answer. I don't quite know.
A good reason would be that Berlin uses OmniOrb. So
OmniOrb's cool. A friend of mine wrote it. Well, chunks of it. Yeah. But OmniOrb, as far as I'm aware, doesn't have C bindings. It has only C++, Perl, Python, and that sort of thing. Right. But you can still interface with Bonobo with it, right? It's just the implementation that you'd have to write using Orbit. Okay. Okay. Have we run out of questions? Good. Okay. Well, that's that. Thank you.